Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 165, coming live from Western Massachusetts.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 165. And this is your host, as always, Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for being here. If it sounds like I am outside, then that is because I am. So I am actually in Western Massachusetts, and I don't talk about this that much because it doesn't really pertain to anything. But I'm going to come out here to visit my family, who is from Boston. And I'm going to see two of my dad's concerts, actually, because he does play in the Boston Symphony Orchestra. But tonight is... I'm actually going to see John Williams and the Pops play Star Wars, so that would be awesome. I love those movies. I think most people do. So that's going to be a really, really fun time. And also, I love hearing my dad play with the orchestra. And so that is also awesome. That actually pertains to what Sterling Koza is going to be talking about on this podcast. I'm sorry if I'm a little out of breath here. I'm going for a little stroll right now. I'm walking back to the condo where my dad lives. So Sterling Koza is going to be talking about the diatonic circle of fifths. And if you have studied classical music or done any of that, then you'll know what that is. And obviously, going to see my dad play, being in the classical world, and myself taking classical music, that has come up a lot in my musical journey. And it's very, very important for a lot of different reasons. And I'm going to let Sterling explain those. But again, knowing this information is going to be very, very valuable to your journey, to your jazz piano career, because of the way things are composed, because of the way you can use it to compose, you can use it to improvise with, you can do a whole lot of things with it. So it's going to be extremely helpful to know this information. But thank you so much for being here. It's going to be a great episode by Sterling that we got going on. And I think he's going to do one more of them, and I'm going to be back on the podcast as well. We're also going to get Trent Bryden doing some podcasts coming up very, very soon within the next couple months. And Trent was actually a member with us before, went through all the Jazz Piano School information and courses, and is now a gigging recording artist, which is amazing. So hats off to him, and he's going to be helping us with education and teaching all you guys, which is absolutely amazing. So just goes to show that there's many opportunities for you to advance, progress your playing to that level, that high level, when you are going through the Jazz Piano School information. So again, as always, enjoy this information from Sterling. Have a fantastic day, and let's dive right into this episode.
So what do we mean exactly when we're talking about the diatonic circle of fifths? Well, first it's important to know what we mean by the circle of fifths. Now, you can refer to an earlier podcast for a more in-depth explanation of the circle of fifths, but for now I'll give you the quick version. So, the circle of fifths is a cycle, and if we were starting on C, if we went down one fifth, we'd end up on F. Next, a fifth down would be B flat to E flat, and so forth. And you can also go up to F instead of going down, C to F. Upwards is a fourth, the interval of a fourth. If we keep going, F to B flat, B flat to E flat, A flat, B flat, and eventually you'll get all the way back to C. So this cycle is a great way to go through all 12 keys. I often use it for exercises such as practicing scales or moving through different keys in other ways. Now, if we're to make it more of a circle, we can change up the cycle and go first up to F and then down to B flat. Instead of going up to B flat, we can go down. and then up to E flat. So we're going up a fourth, down a fifth, up a fourth, down a fifth. Same notes, just different order. If we keep going, it takes us all the way back to C. So that's the circle of fifths. Now, today we're talking about the diatonic circle of fifths. And when we mean diatonic, we're talking about all the notes within one scale. So diatonic meaning all in one tonality. In this case, diatonic in major, C major, would sound like that. So the diatonic circle of fifths, instead of going down to B flat, we're going to stay in the key of C. So there's our diatonic circle of fifths. It's a cycle moving through the same key. Now, if I were to harmonize that, it would look like this. Now, how did I come up with those chords exactly? Well, let's look at a more in-depth explanation of that. This cycle you'll find throughout all of Western harmony. A lot of prominent composers use this progression, and you'll find it all the way up as recent as a lot of jazz standards, some of which we'll look at today. So in order to understand that, what we're going to need to do first is look a little closer at how we harmonized this scale. Now, if I'm starting on the root, the first scale degree, I can harmonize it with a major triad. Now, these are just notes within the key. If we go up a scale degree to scale degree two, the diatonic notes are going to look like this. And this is a minor triad. So we just move all the notes up a step. Now, what'll happen if we move all of the notes and just keep going? Now that's how we harmonize the major scale. In jazz we use four notes, so you can even harmonize it with four notes. And if we move those notes up the scale, it'll look like this. Now let's look a little closer at those chords. The first one we have is a major seventh chord, C major seven. The next one is a minor seventh chord, D minor seven. Next we've got E minor seven. Next F major seven. We've got G seven. A minor seven. And this one's a little different. This one's actually a minor seventh chord, but with a lowered fifth. So we'll call that one B minor 7 flat 5 with the lowered fifth. Then we get back to C major. Now, understanding those chords within the context of C major is a great way to get familiar with the progressions in the key. So once you understand those chords, you can start harmonizing this cycle that we're talking about. So let's move to the key of B flat for a little bit, because one of the tunes we're talking about is in that key. Now, if we have the diatonic circle of fifths, again, the circle of fifths just moving within the key of B flat, it's going to look like this. B flat, E flat, A, D, G. Now, if we're going to harmonize those chords with the technique we just talked about, we'd have B flat major 7, E flat major 7, A half diminished. There's that one with the flatted fifth, D minor 7, 7, C minor 7, F7, B flat major 7. So they're those chords that we just looked at. Now, a great way to use this cycle to practice chord voicings, you can take these chords and expand them out a little bit. So you can use a more extended voicing like this one. Now all I did there was take the root position triad and take two of the notes and put them down an octave. So I really like to use this cycle to practice chord voicings sometimes. So we've got B flat, E flat, A, D, G, C, F, and then we're back to B flat. Let's try another voicing. Voicings were transposed literally through the key. Some of them sound a little different than I'm used to. I haven't used some of those before. But what you can do is use a little different voice leading going through that cycle. Instead of jumping around so much, you can change the top note. So instead of jumping up to E flat, I went down to chords, just with a different inversion of the voicings. So try those out and see how they feel. Now let's stop and take a moment to talk about what this is all about. So this can be a really helpful practice tool, but we really want to get to the tunes. So a tune that is actually in the same key that uses this technique is Autumn Leaves. So there's that diatonic circle of fifths, except this time we're starting on C minor. Interesting thing at the end that gets us back to G minor. Instead of harmonizing it with a D minor 7, which would be diatonic, it actually turns it into a D 7, which takes us back to G. So you can practice these chord voicings with the D 7 in there, going through that diatonic key of B flat major. Now, next we'll get to some of the improvising. This cycle can be really helpful to practice some improvising, especially coming in handy on tunes like Autumn Leaves. One repetition through that cycle. Now what you can do to practice is just loop that. So when you get to G minor, just go to C minor again. Back to C minor. See, it just kind of keeps going. Now, what would it be like if we put it in a different key? Let's try A flat, for example. starting on B flat minor. Another tune in that key is something like this. See if you can guess. Sound familiar? Well, that's All the Things You Are. Now, Jerome Kern throws in kind of a curveball at the end there. When we get to D flat, slides up to D minor, which then takes us to the key of C major. So that's a big surprise. Let's try that with some voicings. So then you can start practicing improvising the diatonic circle of fifths in A flat, which is really just like the first six bars of All the Things You Are. And then going on, we'd get to a G half diminished chord. Keep taking that through a couple of different keys to get comfortable, and you'll find that'll really open up your playing in those keys when you get to tunes that use this cycle. And keep exploring some different voicings.